Radio of, for, and by we the working people. The Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So I've been saying for a while, you know, maybe it's going to come down to Christmas time, and instead of our two front teeth, we're just going to be singing, all I want for Christmas is the budget to be passed, so that we're not closing down schools, we're not closing down food pantries, that social services aren't being harmed, that, well, we have a state in the holidays of chaos. And, you know, I've seen our friends over at the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. They've got a wish list as well. Not the two front teeth, but, you know, something, you know, just, I think, as helpful. And that's why I've asked Mark Steer. He is their brand new director over at the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center to come talk with us. Mark, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks very much for inviting me. It's always be good to be on your show, and particularly in this new position for me.
You know, I look at the wish list that you've got here and some pretty lofty goals. Actually increasing the minimum wage? Say it isn't so.
Yeah, well, you know what? We have a budget problem in this state. If you increase the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour, you save $231.5 million in state Medicaid costs because you lift people above the eligibility level for Medicaid. That's a win-win.
Now, I just talked about this the other day. You know, I want to see it raised at least enough that people's lives get better, that the workers' lives get better, that we're just not swapping off costs, that it's just not a situation, like you said, we're going to save Medicaid money, we'll save LIHEAP money, we'll save school lunch program money, we'll save all that. But if the workers' lives aren't getting any better by having an increase enough to actually make their lives better, I'm almost at what's the point?
No, I think 10-10 and beyond that, with automatic indexing to inflation, will make people's lives better. They'll find health insurance through other programs that we've established in the last couple of years, programs that are paid for in other ways. So it helps the state budget. It helps working people.
Right.
There's no question minimum wage is one of the key things we need to help working people in this state.
What do you say to my right-wing friends who said, you know, Mark, you're just a job killer?
You know, I worked real hard the last time we raised the minimum wage.
I did
up
too.
To $7.15. I was part of the coalition that did it. And I remember those editorials coming from NFIB and other places who said it's going to kill our jobs. Well, it didn't happen. We had more jobs the next year. I mean, you can say it all you want, but it empirically is not true.
And if it were true that, you know, the jobs will flee, one would think, given the fact that Pennsylvania has the lowest minimum wage of any of the states around us, that we should be stealing jobs from other states.
Right. Instead, as you know, we're pretty poor in job creation. We're down towards the bottom. And that just goes to show you that the high wage model of creating an economy does better for everyone than the low wage model. No. You drive down people's wages, they don't have money to buy things. Hurts the economy, hurts job creation.
On some level, that makes, you know, common sense. And I think we've lost our minds when it comes to common sense. I think now we've been fed these talking points for so long, and they've filled our mind that somehow our what's between our ears been polluted.
Yeah, you know what? You just got to talk to people in small businesses who say, yeah, I want to pay my workers more than minimum wage because that means they stay longer, which means I don't have to retrain them, which means they get better at their job. Higher wages are more efficient, and the businesses that want to pay a higher wage sometimes can't because they're undercut by businesses that pay a lower wage.
Right.
If we raise the floor, we increase productivity for everyone. We increase wages, and that creates demand for products and services, and that creates more jobs.
So it's my thought, and maybe you can back this up or not, that because you used the word small business there.
Right.
And every small business owner that I've met, they don't pay the minimum wage.
Right.
They pay much higher than the minimum wage because they actually look those people in the face every day and want them to do better. And as you said, stay. So the minimum wage to me seems to be something that's being abused by these big behemoths, the fast food industry, who are multi-billion dollar profitable. It just seems to me to be massive redistribution of wealth by having an artificially low minimum wage.
Yeah, that's true. It's the big places, the Walmarts, the McDonald's, that don't pay a decent wage. And, you know, even for them, I think it may help them in the short term. But you know, sometimes we need to do things that help businesses think in their own long-term interest.
Right.
I think higher minimum wage is in everyone's interest.
That's a good one. There are a couple other things on your wish list, the 8-point wish list, that I think are very interesting. Maybe we have a severance tax on the drillers. In listening to the budget talks, it appears that the governor's even said it's not going to happen. And the Republicans said from the beginning, no way, and a cold day and you know where. I think there's got to be a push from the ground of grassroots saying, look, if we're expanding the sales tax on low-wage workers, come on. It doesn't make any sense not to go after the drillers.
You know, even on the Republican side, you had 18 Republicans who campaigned saying they supported a severance tax. I think if we could get a severance tax to the floor of the House and the Senate, we might find we have the votes to pass it.
Because it's a leadership
issue.
Because
it simply just makes sense. The gas can't move. The shale rock is in Pennsylvania. If drillers want to drill it, they have to come here. They can't go drill for it in...
Can't do it from China? I was told as a kid, if you dig deep enough, you got the China. Could we do the China plan?
No. You know, you can't go to Connecticut. You can't go to Maine. You can't go to New Hampshire. It's in Pennsylvania. If they want to get it out of the ground, they have to come here. And the really funny thing is, to the extent that severance tax is passed on to consumers, and there's some issues about how much actually is. Most of it, I think, actually, the drillers have to pay for, because there's this incredible natural resource that's very valuable, and they have to pay some of it because they're selling to a global market. But to the extent it's passed on, lots of us in Pennsylvania already pay it because we get our natural gas from other states. If consumers are going to pay for a shale severance tax in Pennsylvania, it's going to be consumers in other states where we're selling our gas.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's always got me, because my wife has relatives who live in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And every year, you know, she gets an email from them saying, I got my Alaska check.
Right.
Thank you for paying it for me so I can get it, because, you know, they export all their oil out of the state.
Right.
And everybody else is paying their tax.
Yeah, I lived in Alaska for 3 years. It was great to get that check. So you have
keep a PO box there?
Right. No. You have really radical left-wing states like Alaska and Texas that tax their natural resources.
Right.
And we in Pennsylvania don't. Now, come on.
That doesn't seem to make any sense to me. But again, it comes back down to who really controls what happens over there in the Capitol. These special interests are so powerful in this state. And because I haven't seen the kind of outrage that I would expect from the citizens having a budget 5 months late.
Yeah, you know, it's disturbing to us that hasn't been enough public outrage. And I think all of us on the progressive side need to be doing more to mobilize people, to get them to be talking to legislators and say, first of all, we need a budget. But it's not just that we need a budget. We need a budget that's oriented towards working people, towards the middle class in Pennsylvania. And that means it's the severance tax, you know, the natural gas drillers have to pay their share. It means we need broad-based taxes that are paid for to a much higher degree by upper-income people than lower-income people. The sales tax, which we're going to – it looks like we're not going to raise the rate, but we're going to broaden it.
Yeah.
And perhaps that will hide the pain a little bit. But the fact is, a sales tax is a sales tax. And a sales tax takes a much higher share of income from low-income people than upper-income people. I actually looked up the numbers in it before I walked over here. The sales tax in Pennsylvania takes about 5.8% of the income of the lowest 20% of families with income. And it takes about 2.3% of the top 20%. And only 0.6% of the income of the top 1%.
That seems upside down to me.
Right. It's what we call in the trade a regressive tax. It takes relatively more from lower income people than higher income people. And our first proposal in our 8-point wish list is a sales tax credit on your income tax. That's something you can do under the Pennsylvania Constitution. We have a personal income tax forgiveness credit. We could do it for the sales tax. That would offset the impact of broadening the sales tax, and maybe even go a little further and make the sales tax a little more progressive. That's something we think that legislators ought to be fighting for this year.
So instead of what I think is the right way to go about this is to have a very progressive income tax, which in our state constitution, not going to happen. Right. And it's a long, arduous process to get there. That's never going to happen. You're saying maybe do this through the sales tax and then have, much like the earned income tax credit,
right,
to rebate some of that. That seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, rebate some of the sales tax. based on your income level through the income tax. Now, we would prefer a personal income tax increase. Even a flat personal income tax increase in Pennsylvania is fairer, more equitable than a sales tax increase. But if we have to have a sales tax increase, let's make it more fair. And also, let's expand it, the base, in the right way. Do you know that if you do laundry at home and you buy laundry detergent at the supermarket, you pay a sales tax on it.
Right.
If you wear a suit to work and you send your suit out to the dry cleaner, you don't pay a sales tax to the dry cleaner.
Okay, that I didn't know.
No, that's not fair.
My wife picks my stuff up.
Right. If you buy software to prepare your taxes, you have to pay sales tax on that software. If you have a lot of money and you need an accountant to prepare your tax returns, you don't pay sales tax to the accountant.
Interesting.
The sales tax is unfair not just because of who pays it, but because of what we tax and what we don't. So this opportunity to broaden the sales tax should be done in a way that makes it more fair, that taxes things that rich people buy as well as things that poor people buy.
Interesting. You think that's going to happen, though? I mean, are we going to? Because there's a lot of talk going on over there, and the special interests, now that they know that they're little special pieces on the plate. A lot of squealing and a lot of greasing of the palms.
Yeah, you know, we really don't know what they're talking about. We don't know the details. But I'll tell you what people should look for. They're talking about putting a sales tax on recreation and amusement. Well, if they put a sales tax on bowling alleys but not museums, then you ought to be wondering who's making those decisions
that's an excellent point.
Who's influencing them.
Let's take a look at a couple of other moments of your wish list. If you want to take a look at the wish list, we've got a link at thericksmithshow.com. Just click on Mark Steer's name. Mark is the director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. If you want to check out that website, penbpc.org, the website, we've got a link there at thericksmithshow.com. On the education front, which this governor ran on, he ran on two things, really. Going to fund education, going to tax the drillers. Not taxing the drillers. On the funding part, you know, is there any talk of a fair funding formula of that we're going to maybe go into some of the areas that are struggling? I look at the York City School District. Mm-hmm. I look at the Chester Upland District. And these are districts that are just starving and being beaten senselessly with these charter schools.
Right, right. We know that we progressives have won something. We've gotten funding for education that we didn't have before. I think they're talking $350 to $400 million. We don't know how it's going to be distributed. And that's a real concern, because it's really important that they have a fair funding formula that restores funding to the low-income, high-poverty districts that bore a lot of the cuts during the corporate years. So, you know, we don't know. We're hopeful.
I'm told the Senate's going to work over the weekend. This may be all wrapped up by Monday after a weekend of having to work.
Well, you know, they they have somewhere to go at the end of next week, so they want to get it done.
That's been my prediction for months.
They want to go to New York.
they want the booze of flowing and the checks filling their pockets. I get that. But at the end of the day, like my mother always said, you want to go out and play, you got to do your homework.
Right.
They haven't been doing their homework, and this is what's been frustrating me. We went a whole summer with, you know, like I saw pictures of people floating in the Dead Sea. I'm going, why aren't you back here working?
Yeah, I mean, they're in a tough situation. You know, there are real divisions between the parties. And what we'd like to see at PBPC is for people to be putting aside ideology and looking at the problems we have in Pennsylvania and finding a way to create a budget and create a tax system that's fair for working people.
So last bit I wanted to get to, because, you know, if you remember back at the beginning of this year, and I do, you had the Senate leadership saying that nothing was going to get done until they got their priorities, much like my 2-year-old kicking and screaming on the ground, not me. They wanted liquor. They wanted pensions.
Right.
On your list, you're talking about, you know, fair pensions for public sector workers. To me, that doesn't seem unreasonable. What I'm seeing coming out of the Republicans is, they wanted to move from a defined benefit plan over to one of these crummy 401k plans that I think the rest of us realize there's no retirement in that. It's just a bad savings plan.
Yeah, this is not one of my areas of expertise. And, you know, I'm on my first week in the job, so I'm going to have to learn more about it. But I do know my colleague at the Keystone Research Center, Steve Herzenberg, has done a lot of work on this. And he doesn't think that the plan that they're going to come up with is going to be really fair to workers. It's a modified hybrid plan that includes partly defined benefit, partly defined contribution. But the impact is likely to be that new public workers are going to get much worse pensions than people who are already in the system. And that's not right. It's not a way to get good teachers and good state administrators and good state workers in other areas.
And at the end of the day, it's like any of this stuff. You make it so complicated that only the lawyers in Philadelphia can figure it out. I don't think it's a great deal.
Let's not start picking on Philadelphia.
I threw that out there knowing that that is your home. And I welcome you to the Harrisburg area for the couple of days that you're here. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck over there at the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center.
Thanks very much.
Great to have you here. Thanks so much, Mark Steer, director there. Again, if you want to take a look at the 8 plans, the wishes for the final budget, just go to thericksmithshow.com. Click on Mark Steer's name. Take you right there. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.